forgot who he was. He was the one who took care of things. The one who handled whatever came at him, no matter the circumstances. Not the guy who couldn't be trusted to control his actions. Finn.
Yep. Haven't left Wilder. Just getting the place ready for habitation. My friend hasn't stayed here for a while, so lots of freshening up to do. And now I sound like my grandmother.
Liv. You should get some potpourri and needlepoint throw pillows.
Finn.
Hush, Arius.
Liv. What about a creepy Jesus painting? My grandma might have cornered the market on those, though.
Finn. Creepy Jesus might be awesome.
Liv.
No.
Still has nightmares of his eyes follow me around.
Jesus is watching, man.
Watching.
Finn laughed as he grabbed a beer from the fridge, and then made his way to the living room. He opened the bottle and stretched out on the couch, his mood lifting at the image of Liv reacting to his last comment, eyes big and smile wide.
Finn. Fine. No creepy Jesus. You have no sense of style. So, are you going to be seeing my needlepoint pillows soon?
Liv. Is that flirting?
Was it?
Probably. Even though he wasn't supposed to be doing that with her. For some reason, he couldn't help it with Liv. It didn't even have to be sexual. Though who was he kidding? That was always there. But she made him playful. No one who knew him now would describe him as playful.
Finn. I get all the girls with my needlepoint. Just wait till I show you my crochet.
Liv. My eyes just substituted a totally different word for crochet.
Finn. Now who's flirting?
Liv. Am not. You are a bad influence. Finn took a long pull on his beer and smirked.
Finn. Truth. But I promise best behavior when you visit. Turned you down the other night, remember? This isn't an attempt to get you in a compromising position.
Liv. So now I'm not worthy of compromising. Whatever, Dorsey.
Flips hair.
Finn groaned despite knowing she was only playing the game and joking around. Just the thought of her on the other end of the line had warmth gathering low. Liv curled up on her couch after work, legs tucked under her, hair loose around her shoulders. Was she laughing at his jokes? Picturing him in her mind like he was picturing her? How would she be if he were there next to her, having this conversation? Would she still flirt so boldly? Would she blush when he teased back? Would her body react to his words the way his reacted to hers? He shifted on the couch and adjusted his jeans, painfully aware of just how easily her words could get to him. But he didn't want to make it awkward. He could play this game. He could pretend this wasn't affecting him.
Finn, I would compromise you so hard, Arius. You wouldn't be able to compromise with anyone else for weeks.
Liv, weird. I found that oddly hot.
Finn. Oddly hot is my FBI code name.
There wasn't a response for a few seconds, and he wondered if he'd taken it too far. But just when he was about to type something else to shift the conversation, her message appeared.
Liv.
Sorry, just spit water on my screen, and my coworkers are looking at me like I've lost my mind. I shouldn't text with you at work. You're going to get me in trouble.
Finn.
You're still at work?
Liv.
I'm always at work.
Finn.
How's the weekend looking?
Liv.
Not great. Been nuts here. Crisis with a big account, and my boss has been out most of the week, so had to pick up slack. I can't see getting caught up by Friday. But next weekend is a good possibility.
Finn frowned. 3 days had passed since he dropped off Liv at the hotel. He'd been worried that it had been a bad idea to invite her to stay across the driveway. But now that the possibility seemed to slip further away with her back in her real life, he found himself itching to make it happen.
Finn.
Sounds good. No pressure. Just need to know if I should clean out the room over the pool house next.
There. That sounded neutral enough, he hoped.
Liv.
Outlook is good. Freshen away. I expect mints on my pillow.
Finn.
Don't have mints, but do have a Costco-sized bag of Starburst because... priorities.
Live. Score. Leave me the pink ones. Burn the lemon.
He laughed again and rested his head against the arm of the couch, feeling better than he had in a long-ass time.
Finn, get back to work and stop slacking. I want you here next weekend, and those websites aren't going to build themselves.
Live. Websites are lazy bastards, and you get back to not working, which for a recluse dude means what, beer and porn?
Finn, you don't want to know.
He said it as a joke, but based on the suddenly tight fit of his jeans, it was more accurate than he wanted to admit. He was turning back into a teenager where just a few flirty words from the beautiful Liv Arias had him pent up and hard. Pathetic. He needed to get that shit under control before she got here, or he was going to embarrass himself.
Live. See you soon, Batman.
The screen went dark, and Finn blew out a breath, staring at the ceiling and willing his body to behave. If a PG-rated text conversation did this to him, what was it going to be like knowing Liv was just across the driveway? He closed his eyes and drained the rest of his beer. Masochist. He was a goddamn masochist. A week later, Liv stared at her screen, her eyes trying to close as she adjusted the aspect ratio on a header for the 100th time. One of her most important clients had changed her mind 10 different times on how she wanted the homepage to look, and now nothing was looking right to Liv. She'd worked 12-hour days, including last weekend, and now her brain was staging a protest, marching around with signs and blocking any solutions. It hadn't helped that she'd barely slept the last few days, since agreeing to spend weekends at Finn's. She'd felt a constant hum of anxiety, which was making her wonder if she was doing the right thing. A whisper of unease could quickly turn into an all-out panic fest if she wasn't careful. She could feel that old monster breathing down her neck, just waiting for a crack in the curtains so it could slip back into her life and take over. She reached for her water and took a long drink, trying to tamp down the infiltrating thoughts. She didn't have time to sit here and worry. She needed to focus. Work. That was what had saved her in the first place. That was what she was good at. Texting with Finn was a fun distraction. A really fun distraction. But her life wasn't set up to be away every weekend. She leaned back in her squeaky office chair and sighed. Lying to herself wasn't going to get her anywhere. Yes, she was busy. Her job was important to her. But she was also scared. Really freaking scared. She'd avoided anything to do with Longacre for so long that this felt like charging into the fire without protection. She wouldn't be in her hometown, but she'd be right by it. She'd be with high school friends. She'd pick up her camera for the first time in forever. She'd be with Finn. Nerves rippled over her, making her hands tremble. She swallowed past the knot in her throat and glanced down at her phone, reading through the conversation Finn had started with her over lunch today.
Finn, got all the rats and pestilence out of the pool house. It could be haunted. But I doubt the spirits mean any harm.
Liv, so if I visit this weekend, I get to be a woman in a gothic horror novel? Do you have a sick recluse I'm supposed to take care of? Or maybe a child that stares at me and doesn't talk?
Finn, a recluse, but I'm not sick.
Liv, just your sense of humor.
Finn, yes, that's definitely sick.
Finn,
so is my guest going to be checking in?
Liv, Preston's back later today. Have to make sure he doesn't need me this weekend. If only she could feel as breezy and confident as she appeared in her texts. She sighed and glanced toward her boss's office. Preston still wasn't back from his meetings, and she had a feeling she knew what he was going to say anyway. He wasn't going to give her a pass on finishing this project. If it wasn't done by the end of the day tomorrow, she'd be expected to work on it over the weekend. So she had two choices. Use that as an excuse for Finn, or bust her ass to get her work done and go to Wilder.
Her fingers moved over her phone screen. Liv, you sure you still want me there? Seems like you're doing okay now.
The words glared back at her from the screen, calling her a coward as she waited for Finn's response. A few minutes passed before her phone vibrated again.
Finn.
There's no obligation. I told you that. But you weren't coming just for me.
She sighed. Liv, stop pointing out true things.
Finn.
I'll try to lie more.
Liv. Okay, sorry. We'll let you know what my boss says.
Another minute passed before his response came.
Finn.
You don't have to do this, you know. I want you here. But if you're not ready, I get it. The last thing I want to do is force or guilt you into something. You can say no. I'm not going to hold it against you.
She stared at the words, at the easy permission.
You can say no. You can walk away. You can go back to your life and forget this happened. You are doing just fine. Why mess it up?
She put her head in her hands and groaned. Hey, Miss Moreno, you okay? After Finn calling her Arias for the last few days, the surname she'd used for years suddenly sounded odd to her ears. Miss Moreno, her mother's maiden name, not hers. She lifted her head, finding one of the interns eyeing her with concern. She forced a smile.
Yeah, I'm fine, Sky. It's just been a long week.
Sky winced.
Then maybe I shouldn't tell you that Mrs. Gill is here and she wants to chat with you in person about more changes?
She glanced over her shoulder and then lowered her voice. She brought color swatches for the redesign and they are fugly.
Fantastic. Liv pinched the bridge of her nose.
Bring her back. Sky nodded and hurried off. Liv glanced at her phone, at the message glaring back at her. She should respond to Finn. She owed him that. But she had no idea what to say.
Chapter 11. Finn jolted awake, the buzz of his vibrating cell phone loud against the coffee table, and his computer almost sliding off his lap to the floor. He got a grip on it, cursing, and moved it out of the way before sitting up. He rubbed a hand over his face, trying to clear the fuzz in his head, and glanced at the clock above the television. Almost 1 a.m. Messages at that time never brought good news. He reached for the phone and saw this one was from Liv.
Liv.
Are you uninviting me, Finn Dorsey?
Finn let out a breath, the fogginess from sleep fading quickly with the sight of Liv's name on the screen. She'd never responded after his message earlier today. He'd figured that had been answer enough. But now, was he uninviting her? He had, sort of. He could feel her stress and had relieved her of the obligation. If she didn't want to be here, he didn't want her to feel guilty about it. She didn't owe him anything.
Finn.
You seem to be buried at work. Didn't want this to interfere.
There was a long pause, and he wondered if he had lost his signal. But finally, the dots indicating an incoming response appeared on the screen.
Liv. Have a project I must wrap up, but if the invitation stands, I can be there by late afternoon Saturday, stay Sunday, and take vacation Monday. If it doesn't stand, I'm calling your mom and telling her how rude her son is, and I'm calling your boss to tell him you lied.
His lips twitched. She had no idea how to contact Billings, but he didn't put it past her to give it her best shot.
Dear someone named Billings at the FBI, Finn Dorsey is a dickhead.
Finn.
The welcome mat is still out. I'll even order pizza to celebrate your arrival.
Liv.
Fancy.
Finn.
If you want fancy, I'll add hot wings to the order.
Liv. If you don't add hot wings and beer, you're doing it wrong.
He chuckled, and the sound echoed through the silent living room.
Finn.
Noted. So it's okay to take off Monday?
There was another long pause.
Liv.
Should be. Unless that's not cool with you, I don't want to interrupt Grumpy Recluse time. A ripple of warmth spread through him, catching him off guard with its potency. 2.5 days with Liv. Finn.
Works for me. I have the rest of the week to be a grumpy recluse.
Liv. You should start growing your beard out now. No self-respecting recluse would walk around with just scruff. Finn.
I'll work on it.
Liv. Sorry if I woke you. I thought you'd have your phone off and would get the message in the morning.
Finn. I was working late, too.
Liv. You're not supposed to be doing that. Clearly, you need me there to keep you in check. Finn glanced at his laptop, imagined it was Liv sitting there instead. Didn't hate the idea. Finn.
You're right. I can't be trusted.
Liv. No more work. Go get some sleep. I'll see you Saturday and I'll bring the beer. Finn.
Deal.
They ended the chat and something restless settled inside Finn, like a sleepy dog that had been turning in circles and had finally lain down. It was done. She would be here this weekend. Now he just had to figure out how not to fuck it up. On Saturday morning, Liv flexed her fingers against the steering wheel and tried to will away the impulse to turn the car around and head back the other way. She'd never gotten a chance to talk to her boss, but late Thursday night, after listening to Mrs. Gill wax on about all the changes she wanted, Liv had hit a wall. She needed a break. She deserved one. And she decided she wasn't going to let the fear keep her chained to her desk for another weekend, when Finn, the lake, and her camera were waiting for her. So she'd worked a long day on Friday, and had let Preston's assistant know she wouldn't be in this weekend, and was taking a vacation day on Monday. Then she'd bailed without waiting for official approval. She had a glut of vacation days. She should be able to use them. But breaking the rules had dumped an edgy dose of adrenaline into her blood. It was something old Liv would have done. She wasn't sure if that was a good or bad thing. Either way, she was really doing this. Taking a risk. Not just staying with Finn, but all of it. Taking her camera out. Exposing herself to memories she'd locked away in her past. Putting her job stuff aside when she really should be working all weekend. Go me. Liv rolled her shoulders and took in the passing scenery, watching the land swell and ebb in the rolling terrain of the hill country. Longacre had gotten its name because it occupied a flat piece of land tucked into an otherwise hilly part of Texas. That kept the tourists out for the most part. Yawn, flatland. But it gave the residents the option of affordable housing still within commuting distance of Austin, albeit an inconvenient hour commute. And it gave the more well-off folk access to lake houses in nearby Wilder for the weekends, and summer. It had been a best-kept secret, until it was national news. Then no one wanted to move there at all. Like the town had caught the tragedy disease, and was now bound to have another, so must be avoided. Stupid. Signs for Wilder Lake appeared, and Liv took the exit. The businesses switched from national chains to the more eclectic, an odd mix of rustic home-style restaurants, gas stations advertising fresh kolaches, and hipster joints, vegan, farm-to-table, tapas, that proved the Austin weekend getaway crowd still rolled through here on their way to the sexier tourist stops. Mixed in were the essentials, a small grocery store, a bait-and-tackle shop, and a liquor store. This was the area the wealthier kids used to head off to on weekends. Parties at parents' lake houses. Bonfires on the shores. Skinny dipping. Getting drunk and camping under the stars. Far enough out that you felt like you'd escaped town, but really only a short car ride away. Liv had visited Wilder a lot growing up, but had only been to one lake party in high school. Her sophomore year, she tagged along with a girl from her art class, and had promptly regretted the decision, when the girl had disappeared with her boyfriend, and left Liv on her own with nothing to do, and easy access to jello shots. Liv had gone on a drunken walk to get away from the heat of the bonfire, and had stumbled upon one of the, let's go find someplace more quiet spots. That had been the first time she'd seen Finn outside of school. He'd been laid out on a couple of beach towels, a senior girl draped on top of him. The girl's hands were up Finn's shirt, and Finn's fingers were in her hair, making out like the other person owed them their air. Liv's head had been swimming already, but seeing that, she'd just stopped and stared. She hadn't gotten past the awkward kiss stage with any guy by that point, so the whole scene had seemed scandalous, but oddly fascinating. She'd had the urge to photograph it, all those angles and curves and hands, until the girl caught Liv watching and called her a freak. Liv had apologized and had fallen down while trying to hurry away. Even in her drunken state, she'd known she'd broken some major social rule. She'd hoped to escape unscathed. Everyone was drinking. No one would remember. But it wasn't meant to be. Finn had come after her, asking if she was all right. He'd found her bent over, vomiting in the bushes. Fun times. But he'd held her hair, like they were friends, like he cared. She hadn't been able to say a damn thing to him beyond a mumbled thanks, but she'd never forgotten the kindness. Liv shook off the memory, ignoring the pang it caused in her gut, and turned on her blinker to take the exit that would lead to the lake. The main drag of shops and restaurants disappeared in the rear view. Next stop, Finn's. A knot of tension gathered between her shoulders as the road narrowed and trees tangled above. When she rounded a curve, the lake came into view, glittering like cut glass in the late afternoon sun. A few birds were diving into it to find their dinner. But the bucolic scene did nothing to calm Liv's nerves. When she saw the address on the mailbox, she turned into the driveway of an impressive house of cedar and hand-cut stone and parked next to Finn's black expedition. Blue and yellow wildflowers lined the path to the door, and the address numbers were carved directly into a fat rock at the end of the path, along with the name of the house, Stillwater, because apparently rich people liked to name their homes. This was to be her humble abode for her summer weekends. "Okay, maybe I am crazy," she muttered. She had a moment where she considered turning around and canceling it all. But then the door opened. Finn stepped onto the porch in jeans and an army green T-shirt, damp-haired and a little dirty, as if he'd been working on something. He leaned against the post, arms crossed, and an unreadable expression on his face. Liv's belly did a flip, and she tried to tamp down her body's automatic response to the man. Shit. Did he always have to look so good? Maybe he should grow the scraggly recluse beard, for her own protection, as a damn public service. He raised a hand in silent greeting. Liv climbed out of the car and lifted the six-pack of Shinerbock in response. He smiled and swept his arm toward the house.
"You have brought the proper sacrifice to gain entry."
She gave an exaggerated curtsy. "I wouldn't dare enter without it." He laughed and sidled down the walk, his gait casual. He was comfortable here. He swiped his hands on the back of his jeans and took the beer from her, saving her the awkward decision of to hug or not to hug. "Damn, it's good to see you," he said, his voice genuine.
"I'd greet you in a more appropriate way than stealing your beer, but I'm filthy."
"Yes, I know. You've been texting me." He grinned, dimple appearing.
"Different kind of filthy. I'm helping my friend get this place back in shape so we can sell it. I decided to rebuild the fire pit down by the shore, but it took longer than I thought. Or my skills are rusty. Probably both. I haven't worked with my hands in a while."
She bit the inside of her lip, remembering what other things he hadn't done in a while. Although based on their kiss at the restaurant, those skills weren't rusty at all. "No worries.
I'll need to grab a shower before dinner, but I've got your room all ready."
He cocked his head toward the property beyond.
"Where's your stuff? We can get you settled in before dinner."
"Suitcase in the back seat, camera gear in the trunk. I can get the equipment if you can grab my bag."
"Got it."
Finn set the beer on the roof of her car, then pulled Liv's suitcase and backpack from the back seat.
"I ordered the pizza and wings, of course."
"Excellent." Finn hoisted her backpack over his shoulder.
"I'm glad you were able to get away. You sounded slammed."
Liv busied herself with her stuff and avoided his gaze.
trying to ignore the pang of guilt she felt for bailing on work. Yep, but I'm always crazy busy. The work will still be there on Tuesday.
True. I've learned that's a well that never runs dry. Work always fills whatever space you give it.
So it seems. He jabbed a thumb behind him.
This way to the pool house.
Finn took most of the heavy stuff, leaving Liv with a shoulder bag, her precious camera, and the beer. She followed him up the drive, past a wrought iron gate, and when she turned the corner, all her breath whooshed out of her. A small, dark blue swimming pool sparkled in the middle of the backyard. But beyond that was the wide expanse of the lake, reflecting back the orange-pink sky. And the sound. She wanted to wrap herself up in the sounds. Gently lapping water, a breeze whispering through the trees, a few birds twittering happy songs. It was all so different from her normal soundtrack of passing cars and city noise. She'd forgotten how quiet the lake could be. Wow, this is gorgeous. Finn looked back over his shoulder at her.
This is my favorite time of the day. The water looks like it's on fire.
He squinted at the lake. I remember sitting out here in summers, fishing off the pier, and watching the sun dip below the tree line as everything went dark. I always felt like I was in another time when I came out here, some place that real life couldn't touch.
Protected from real life, she could use a big heaping dose of that right now.
Is that why you wanted to be out here now?
She followed him up a set of wooden steps that led to the room above the windowed pool house, and set her bags on the small landing. He shrugged, keeping his back to her as he dug out a key.
Maybe. It's definitely better than a random apartment in Virginia.
He swung open the door and flipped on a light, illuminating a one-room studio with whitewashed plank walls. She stepped inside behind him and looked around. There was a small living area with a navy blue couch, an efficiency kitchen to the right, and the bed against the far back wall, made up with white sheets, a soft-looking quilt, and a big pile of pink starbursts on top. A lamp glowed on the table beside the bed, painting the room in warm light.
I know it's small, but it's adorable,
she finished. And it was, cozy and welcoming. Like him, the man who'd picked out all the pink candies for her. She set her things down and walked over to the window across from the couch. It looked out on the south side of the lake, giving her a fantastic view of the hills on the other side.
And you can't beat the view.
No, you can't,
he said quietly. She turned and found him watching her. She rubbed her lips together.
Bathroom.
He pointed toward the bed area.
Pocket door in the back corner. No bathtub, but a shower and all the other necessities. If you prefer a bath, there's a jetted one in the main house you can use.
A jetted bath. At his place. She cleared her throat.
Showers are fine. I'm not here for a luxury vacation. Just need a place to sleep in between working and keeping you out of trouble.
He ran a hand over the back of his head.
Right, okay. Well, I'm going to grab a shower and wait for the pizza while you get settled. I'll let you know when it's here.
She nodded. Sounds good. He stared at her for another few seconds, as if he wanted to say something else, but then nodded.
All right.
He headed to the door. Finn? He turned. Thank you for this. She tucked her hands in her back pockets, feeling awkward. I know this wasn't your plan, to have a guest. It wasn't mine either, but I appreciate it. I probably wouldn't have taken the plunge otherwise.
He shrugged. Yeah, you would have. You wouldn't have let that letter go unanswered. Not the Liv I know.
His gaze met hers.
But for what it's worth, I'm glad I get to be here to watch you do it.
With that, he stepped outside and shut the door behind him, leaving just his scent behind. A heady combo of fresh-cut grass and man. She moved to the window on the opposite side of the room and watched him walk up the stone path that led to the back door of the main house. She sighed and rested her forehead against the glass. She was in so much damn trouble.
Chapter 12. Finn watched his rock plunk into the water after one sad skip on the surface, and cursed as the ripple circled out, marking his defeat.
That rock was defective.
Liv burst into a laugh beside him, the sound drifting over the dark lake and echoing. She turned to him, her expression dancing in the flickering light from the fire pit.
You are seriously the worst rock skipper I've ever seen. That rock was the perfect skipping rock. I gave you the best one. It could have won awards for most awesome rock.
Worst rock ever, he said with mock severity.
She bent forward and laughed harder, her beer clutched against her waist, and he allowed himself a moment to watch her. Jubilant expression, pale blue t-shirt clinging to full, soft breasts, and long, tan legs making khaki shorts look like lingerie. Unfairly sexy. She'd been pretty in high school, quirky cool, but now she was just flat-out beautiful, and successful, and hella smart, and off fucking limits. He dragged his gaze away before his brain started weaving fantasies about sweeping her off her feet and carrying her into the house, spreading her across his bed, and making up for all the hurt he'd caused her with orgasms. For every second of pain he'd brought her, he'd pay her back with pleasure, with his mouth, his tongue, his cock, until she was limp and smiling, and all his. Stop. Aw, don't make that face, she teased, taking his grimace for something else. It's okay to lose to a girl. He sniffed and sipped his beer.
This isn't about you being a girl. This is about you stacking the deck.
They'd eaten their pizza and wings by the shore in a set of Adirondack chairs that flanked the new fire pit, and they were now each working on their second beer. Liv had been the one to propose the rock-skipping contest, apparently because she was some secret rock-skipping champion. She'd managed a solid 4 skips with her last attempt. Despite his words, Finn didn't care that he was losing miserably. Seeing her so entertained at his ineptitude was worth it.
If this were a fishing contest, I'd be kicking your ass, Livy. Just wait, I'm putting that on the agenda tomorrow.
Her eyes crinkled at the corners, and she waggled her fingers. Ooh, I'm scared now. How many fish have you caught in the last few days, big talker?
3.
Ooh, 3. She sipped her beer, still smiling. I'm sufficiently intimidated now.
You should be. I think all 3 times it was the same fish. I keep putting him back, but he has a death wish.
She snorted. Poor guy. Not the smartest of the school, huh? Ooh, it's that bright, shiny thing again. Oh, damn! He chuckled.
Now I won't be able to eat him. You've given him a personality.
Mr. Tough FBI guy is sympathetic to a fish. Liv put her hand to her chest with a dramatic flourish. No qualms about teasing him. I'm shocked. Finn attempted a wry smile, but the effect of her standing there so relaxed was too distracting. How long had it been since he was able to be so unguarded with another person? Even outside his undercover work, he couldn't remember the last time things had felt so easy with someone. She made him feel like that kid he used to be. And like that kid, he wanted to reach out and pull her to him, taste the beer on her lips, feel her smiling against his mouth. He looked away, pretending to stare at the lake.
Don't tell my boss. You'll ruin my street cred.
Right, street cred. She got quiet for a moment, and he sensed her watching him. How did you deal with that kind of thing, undercover? I imagine you had to be pretty ruthless. Unease moved through him, and he glanced at her, finding her expression curious but without judgment. He squatted down, busying himself with finding another rock.
Ruthless was the name of the game. Showing any emotion besides anger could be deadly. Showing sympathy was as dangerous as showing fear. I had to turn off those parts of myself.
Sounds tough. He picked up a rock and squeezed it.
It was at first, but then it got easy. Too easy, probably.
When he put a bullet in Dragonfly's second-in-command, he'd barely felt a blip on his moral radar. Yes, the guy had been a threat, and would have killed Finn without thought. But if Finn could do the same, how different were they really? Which is why your boss is worried, Liv concluded.
Yeah,
Finn said, a familiar dread moving through him. A dread that whispered that he could never go back, that promised him he'd shut off machinery that couldn't be switched back on. She crouched next to him, selected a different rock, and then gently pried his fingers open. He lifted his gaze to meet hers. She placed her rock in his palm, next to his rock, and gave him a soft smile. I'm not worried. He curled his fingers around the stones, catching her fingers in the process.
Why not?
Because you mean it when you say you'd feel bad about the fish. She stood and pulled him up with her. Now let's say if you can suck less at this rock-skipping thing, I'll show you my secret tips. Finn didn't want to let go of her hand. Her easy certainty in him was more than he deserved. And dangerous.
Don't give me so much credit, Liv. I appreciate what you're trying to do, but you'd be horrified by some of the things I did while I was under, and more horrified by the things I looked away from and didn't step in to stop. The fish is just a fish. Don't absolve me over that.
Her jaw flexed, determination filling her eyes. Did you kill anyone?
Yes.
She flinched, but the resolve didn't waver. Who wouldn't have killed you?
No.
Rape someone? He grimaced.
Of course not. I would never...
I know, she said, and let go of his hand. Don't you get that? I wouldn't be here if I suspected you'd really gone to the dark side. I get that you had to do what you had to for your job. If that meant numbing your emotions to survive, then that was the cost. You can't expect everything to snap back in place overnight. Believe me. I was a pro at numbing things. It takes a while to remember how to feel stuff again. I'm still working on it. He let out a breath, still uncomfortable with her faith in him.
What do you mean?
She set her beer down and shrugged. I stopped getting wasted and getting high. I stopped sleeping around while wasted or high. That was a start. Then I focused on my career. She shook her head and frowned. But I'm beginning to realize that the job thing has its own numbing effect. Workaholic still has a holic in it. Finn rubbed his thumb over the smooth rock in his hand, considering her and honored that she'd trust him with that kind of personal information. But he could tell the admission had cost her something. He tried to think of a way to shift the focus away from such serious topics.
So this is your solution? Taking a break and agreeing to hang out with a dude who's exponentially more screwed up than you?
She laughed under her breath, the soft sound getting devoured by the snapping of the fire, and put her hands on her hips. Yes, exactly. I am super brilliant.
And super beautiful.
The second the word slipped out of his mouth, he cringed. She blinked, her superhero pose sagging.
Sorry,
he said quickly. The filter's dialed to low tonight.
Ignore me and show me how to throw this damn rock.
She stared at him for a moment longer, the awkwardness tangling between them, and then nodded. Right. Let's give it a try. Liv's blood was thumping in her ears, almost blocking out the sounds of the night around her. The way Finn had looked at her and his words had blindsided her. But what should have sent her scrambling to reassert their boundaries had her skin heating in ways it shouldn't. Maybe it was the fire. Probably the fire. She led him to the edge of the lake and picked up her own rock, trying to focus on the task at hand. Rock skipping. She could do rock skipping. Okay, so I think your problem is that you're too erect. There was a strangled sound next to her. Shit! Shit! Wrong word. Now images were happening, images she didn't need while trying to form words. You're so tall, and you're standing straight when you throw. You have to crouch a little so that when you sidearm it, you're closer to the lake surface. Like this. She demonstrated and got her rock to skim the surface with 3 perfect skips. Plink, 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 plunge. See? Your turn. Finn grunted. You making it look so damn easy is only going to further injure my ego when mine sinks like an anchor. Positive thoughts, Dorsey. Be the rock. He sent her a come-on-now look, but shifted his stance. Crouched and threw. The rock skipped twice, then sank. Not great, but better than his previous attempts. Hey, she said, turning his way. You did it. But there was still a look of consternation on his face. I need 3. Maybe you should stop while you're ahead. Not my style. He palmed the rock she'd given him, a nice, flat, smooth one, then got into position again. The wrinkle between his brows was adorably serious, like he was trying to figure out a missile launch for NASA instead of rock skipping. He gave it a toss, and it tapped the surface 1, 2, 3 times. With a shout, he raised his arm above his head. Score! You did it! She whooped and joined him in the celebration, making a cheerleader V with her arms. Go team! I'd do a toe touch, but then we'd have to go to the hospital. He turned to her, grinning.
Thanks, coach. Obviously, I was too erect.
She choke-laughed and pressed her hand over her mouth. I mean, really? I slip up and say something I shouldn't, and you go with erect in the next sentence? He teased.
Way to make it weird, Aries.
Hey, erect is a perfectly proper word. I can't help it if your mind was in the gutter.
I've been celibate for 2 years. Assume it's always there. I've set up shop and built a little gutter town. We're about to elect a mayor.
She crossed her arms and tilted her head, goading him. So, during this whole deep conversation about emotions and past trauma and recovering, your mind was really just thinking...
Sex, skipping rocks, beer, sex, maybe more pizza, sex.
She rolled her eyes. Nice. He smirked.
No, but seriously, I'll try to do better at not making this awkward. I'm not trying to make a move on you. I wanted you here for exactly the reasons I told you. No ulterior motives. I just slip up sometimes because you're... I don't know.
He swept a hand in her direction.
You.
She swallowed hard, trying to ignore the sizzle of awareness that sent through her. And because you've been hard up for 2 years.
Yes, that, but mostly the other thing.
He shrugged. Honesty in his eyes.
You hit all my buttons, Livy. Always have. But I'm smart enough to know not to screw up what could be a great summer for both of us, with something stupid like lust. I'm a big boy. I can handle myself.
Did you just say big and handle yourself? He smirked, all male confidence.
Now whose mind is in the gutter? And yes, on both. I'm a pro at handling myself. PhD level, in fact.
She pressed her tongue to the back of her teeth. Okay, we need to stop.
What?
He asked, eyes sparkling with humor.
Making embarrassing admissions?
No, making hot admissions. That's too much information. Her gaze tracked down his body on its own volition, and she forced her attention away. You said no lust. Talking about how you use your hands is not an effective strategy for that. Lust. Like what was building up in her right now. Not just at the images he'd ruthlessly painted in her head. Him going up to the house, slipping out of his clothes, and curling that strong hand around himself, stroking and taking his time, maybe thinking of her. Even more distracting was hearing him tell her that she hit his buttons, that she'd always done it for him, that something specific about her made Mr. Cool and in Control slip up. She'd had guys tell her she was pretty or sexy or whatever, but she wasn't sure she'd ever heard something so specifically personal. She knew what he meant, though, because it was the same for her. Her reaction to him had always been visceral. an awareness that even in light moments forever hummed beneath the surface, like power lines linked directly to her libido. She fought the urge to step into his space, to inhale how the smoke from the fire mixed with his scent, to feel the heat of him against her again, to offer to take care of any erect situations herself.
"Right, sorry," he said, his tone gruff. "This was probably safer via text. We can't let joking turn into more than it is."
"Because that would be stupid," she said, annoyed at how breathless the words came out.
"Yes."
He held her gaze for a beat too long, as if he could see her thoughts. Heat crept up her neck, but then he rubbed his hand on his jeans.
"It's getting late. We should probably head back up to the house."
She nodded, mouth dry. "Sure, good idea." Without another word, he moved toward the fire, dousing it and tossing their trash into the grocery bag he'd hooked on the back of one of the chairs. She followed behind him, picking up what she could, but mostly watching him, her thoughts chasing each other around her head like angry cats. Or horny cats. She was here for a break. She was here to do photography. She was here to help Finn acclimate back to normal life. She was not here to get naked with him. Naked. Well, that word was the wrong one for her to think, because now she was watching how his pants slipped low in the back every time he bent to pick up a beer bottle, revealing the dips below his spine and the top curve of what was sure to be a muscular ass. She wet her lips, feeling like a pervert for ogling him, but she didn't look away. What would happen if she walked over to him, put her hands on that exposed skin, and slid her palms underneath his t-shirt? Would he jump away? Would he lecture her about lust? Or would he let her slip his shirt off and touch her, too? The image was almost too much, and a little grunt passed her lips. Finn peered back over his shoulder.
"You say something?"
No. He gave her an odd look.
"If you want to go on to the guest house, you can. I can finish cleaning up."
"No, it's okay. I don't mind helping," she said, snapping out of her frozen state and emptying another cup of water onto the fire to make sure it was fully extinguished. She imagined that the ensuing sizzle was what her thoughts needed, something cold and wet thrown on them. Wet. Another word that bounded down the wrong path. Her body was more than ready for all that lust they were purposely ignoring. She stepped a little closer to him, like iron drawn by a magnetic pull. She could feel dangerous words, propositions hovering on her lips. Recklessness welled in her, but then her foot kicked one of the empty bottles. Alcohol, her personal invitation to bad decisions. She hadn't had much tonight, but it was there. Her old familiar pattern. Feel stressed, drink, get in bed with someone. Only this someone wasn't a stranger. And there wouldn't be an anonymous, "Thanks for a great night, see you in the next life," in the morning. This was Finn. She closed her eyes, inhaling a deep breath.
"Hey, you okay?"
Liv's eyes popped open to find Finn standing too close, his body heat wafting her way. He put his hand on her shoulder, and everything inside her went molten and wanting. "Kiss me." No, she needed to get to bed, or into a cold shower. She was not going to act like that girl she used to be. She was not going to mess this situation up before it started. "Yeah, I'm fine. But on second thought, I might take you up on going to bed," she said quickly. "I barely got any sleep this week, and I'm beat." His gaze held hers, and she got the sense he was seeing every conflicting thought in her head, but his expression turned soft.
"Absolutely. Go and get some rest. I've got this."
"Thanks." He let go of her shoulder and dug something out of his pocket. He held it out to her.
"This is the key to the main house and the code for the alarm. I didn't know what to stock in your fridge or what extras you might want, so if you need anything... food, more blankets, extra towels, whatever, you're welcome to come in and grab it.
Just make sure to turn off the alarm. It's on silent so it won't wake me, but it will go off if the code isn't entered within 30 seconds.
She took the key and the slip of paper from him. Thanks, but I'm sure I won't need anything tonight. I've had more than enough.
He shrugged. Well, just in case, then.
She stepped to him, forcing herself to act like a normal human being, and leaned forward to give him a quick hug. Good night. This was fun. He stiffened at the hug, and she shifted to pull back. But then he let out breath, loosened his stance, and wrapped his arms around her.
Yeah, I'm glad you made it out here.
She liked the feel of him against her a little too much. He was warm and solid, smelled vaguely of spicy chicken and campfire, so a win all around. She was lingering too long but couldn't make herself pull away. She let the side of her face press up against his shoulder. People should hug more. This is nice.
Liv. The word was strained, tense.
Hmm?
You should go to bed.
The warning in his tone cut through her haze, and she quickly released him and took a big step back.
Right.
He grimaced and turned from her.
See you in the morning.
Her stomach tightened, his obvious need like a siren call.
2 years.
She wanted to touch him, to give him what they both craved, but he'd see it as charity, and she'd wake up in the morning regretting it. Before she could get herself in trouble, she turned on her heel and headed back up to the house, ready to plunge into an ice bath. So much for a weekend of relaxation. Chapter 13. Finn swung his fist across his body and landed a solid punch to the bag, relishing the force of impact that traveled up his arm and into the muscles. Exertion. A little pain. Just what he needed to get his mind off what had kept him up most of the night. Liv by the firelight, looking at him like she wanted him. Liv wrapping her arms around his waist, her body soft and warm as she hugged him. The scent of her hair in his nose, the memory of how her lips tasted, still fresh in his mind. He'd gotten away in time before his dick could stand up and embarrass them both, but just barely. Sweat dripped off him as he threw another punch, the chain holding the bag creaking with effort. He forced the images of Liv from his head and tried to picture an opponent there in front of him, a guy with a gun and a bad attitude. Just because he was on a break didn't mean he could afford to let his skills slip. He swung his leg out and landed a solid kick. Bad guy would be on the floor now, holding his gut.
Take that, asshole.
Finn stilled the swinging bag and wiped the stinging sweat from his eyes. The early morning rays were peeking through at the edges of the workout room's blinds and scattering across the wooden floor. He wondered if Liv was up yet. Doubtful. They'd stayed up late, and she'd had a long day. Plus, when he'd known her, she'd been a night owl, not an early bird. Images of her curled up in bed next door filled his head. What did she sleep in? A t-shirt like she'd been wearing at the hotel? Nightgown? Nothing at all? His cock flexed in his shorts, and Finn adjusted himself with annoyance. Focus, man! He'd been pent up and turned on when he'd gotten back to the house last night, but he'd refused to give himself any relief. He wasn't going to be some horny teenager, jerking off every time he hung out with a pretty girl. He had self-control now. He was a grown-ass man. He'd gone all those years undercover without sex and had survived. But that was because staying alive and alert had been much more important. Hierarchy of needs. Staying alive trumped getting off. But now that he wasn't on constant vigilance, his libido had rushed back in with twice the force. And having Liv around was like waving a red flag at a cooped-up bull. He'd had dangerous thoughts last night when he'd gotten back to the house. Unacceptable ones. Not thoughts of romantically taking Liv to bed, but thoughts of bending her over one of those chairs, stripping her down, and taking her roughly, making her beg for her release. He'd never force anything on a woman. He trusted himself on that. but he had spent so many years watching sex, intertwined with violence, that his fantasies had taken on a much darker tone than what he'd ever been into before going under. Liv didn't need him in her bed at all, but she certainly didn't need that rough version of him. He took another swing at the bag, his knuckles stinging with the impact. This would have to substitute. Wear himself down and get the frustration out on the bag. Another kick. But now his mind was running down a forbidden road without any help. Liv sliding down from that hug last night and getting to her knees. Those long, elegant fingers undoing his belt and jeans. Those big brown eyes looking up at him with seduction, offering him respite from his self-imposed monkhood. His fingers in her hair. Arousal pounded through him, his erection sliding against the soft material of his shorts, his blood pumping hard.
Liv.
The morning was gorgeous, warm but not the blazing heat it'd be in a few hours. The breeze rattled the leaves, and birds chirped happily in the trees. Liv had woken at 6 after a fitful night of sleep, and had decided to take her camera out for an early morning stroll along the shore. The weight of her cannon in her hand felt like spending time with an old friend and catching up. She'd forgotten some of the quirks and settings of the camera, but after an hour of snapping shots and test-driving some of her lenses, her confidence was coming back. She braced herself on her elbows and focused her macro lens to catch a ladybug making a purposeful walk across a leaf. The quiet click of her shutter was loud in the peaceful surroundings, but soothing to her. Before all the media storm with Longacre, some of her favorite times had that sound in the background. It was nice to reclaim it as her own. When the ladybug decided she didn't want to be a model anymore, scurrying under a bush, Liv rolled back up to her feet and brushed off her jeans. The sun's rays were getting higher, and the light pierced her eyes. She squinted and held up her hand. Her head protested in response, the dull pounding that had started a few minutes ago going into full drum corps mode. Ugh. She'd hoped to not disturb Finn if he wanted to sleep in, but she'd hit the point of must-have coffee or perish. She was beginning to see dots in her vision, which meant a migraine threatened. If she didn't staunch it with caffeine and it hit her full force, her whole day would be awash. She eyed the house and decided to take the risk. If she woke Finn, she'd fix him breakfast or something to make up for it. She packed her camera in her bag and trudged up to the house. She'd tucked the key into her pocket and had memorized the code, so getting in was easy. She slipped in through the back door and found herself in an open-concept kitchen. She glanced around, taking in the living room and the small attached eating area. The house was all warm woods, stone and glass, somehow pulling off modern and rustic at the same time. Beautiful, elegant, and only a part-time home to someone, which seemed a damn shame. She walked through the kitchen on silent feet and peeked down the hallway. Most of the doors were shut, and everything was quiet. Finn had to be sleeping. His SUV was still in the driveway, and the coffee pot was dry as a bone. Trying to be as stealthy as possible, she rummaged around in the pantry to find coffee and set it up to brew. While she waited, she picked through the breakfast offerings. Cereal, instant grits, granola bars, some eggs in the fridge. Her stomach rumbled in response. Not wanting to choose anything that would require a beeping microwave or the banging of pots, she grabbed a granola bar and polished that off while the coffee percolated. But right when the brewing cycle was almost done, she heard her name. She frowned and glanced down the hallway. The word had been muffled, but she thought she'd heard,
"Olivia."
Maybe the coffee had woken Finn, or maybe she was imagining things. Cautiously, she took a few steps down the hall. Sounds came from the door at the end on the left, which was slightly ajar.
"Olivia."
Yes, definitely her name, but not calling for coffee. The grunting sound that followed it was definitely not meant for her ears. Her breath caught, and she froze next to the door. "Fuck!" The word was utterly male, ground out in a hoarse plea and so damn sexy that her skin flushed instantly. her stomach clenched, and she couldn't help but lean closer and peep through the crack in the door. There was a mirror on the wall that she could see, some sort of workout room reflecting back at her. But that's not what caught her attention. In the reflection, a broad, shirtless back filled her view. Thin.